Well, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to come here today. It's been a blessing for us. Thank you for the good meal downstairs, a good time of fellowship together. And so it's always a blessing to come over here, and I trust that we'll be able to come over in other times, unless the Lord comes back and we meet all up above, and we'll be together forever. So we're looking forward to that day as well. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 28 through 31. Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to meet together. And I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to apply these truths to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We've been going through some words down in Ambassador Baptist Church on prayer meeting nights. For example, justification, sanctification, redemption, propitiation, some of those big words. And how do those words apply to us in our Christian life? Some of these words have to do with our salvation, who we are in Christ. Some of these words have to do with after we get saved, how we're living for Christ, like sanctification and so on. And so today we want to look at one of these words is the word formed. And we're going to build on that word here today, formed. God working in our lives. You know, the story of the believer can be summarized by the word formed. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So here we find at the beginning of the scriptures, the Bible tells us that God formed us. In Genesis chapter 1, in the very first chapter, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, God created all the things that are in this universe. On the sixth day, God created man, and he was created in the image and the likeness of God." But Genesis chapter 1 doesn't tell us a whole lot about the creation. But in Genesis chapter 2, it gives us a few extra details. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." So if we can kind of visualize God reaching down, getting a handful of clay or dust, dust of the earth, and beginning to form the body of man, forming the head and the ears and the eyes and the nose and the mouth and the neck and then the body, then the arms and the fingers. And God created, made the body of man. He formed us from the dust of the ground. Then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living soul. And so we find here in the scriptures that we're made of clay. We're made of the dirt, of the dust of the ground. And you know, clay can't form itself. Clay needs someone to do the work. If you get a ball full of clay and get it all ready and put it there in the middle of the table, it's just going to sit there and dry up. But you know, if you'd get the potter and puts the clay in the center and he can form something out of it. God was the potter here. We find that God took the clay and made a body, a person. He created the body of Adam, then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Have you ever seen anybody making a pot out of clay? I remember when Jane and I first arrived in Brazil. That was back in 1986. Then 1987, we went to our second conference with the mission. We all went down to the mouth of the Amazon River to the state of Pará, to the city of Belém. And we had the conference there, and the afternoons were free, so one day the missionaries took us to a place where they made pots. It was like a big roof building, no walls, just roof, so a roof over it. They had truckloads of clay in there, and they had a lot of different people in there making pots. And so we were able to stand there and watch people making things there. And they had a wheel. They were sitting on a chair, and they had a wheel down below with an axle coming up with another little table wheel here on top. They'd get some clay, and a certain amount of clay, and get it to the right moisture content, and they put it right in the center of that wheel. They kicked the bottom wheel with their foot, and it would spin up here. Then as soon as their fingers touched it, it began to move. It began to shape. It began to grow. And so they could form it. It'd become wider. It would start growing up, and they could curve it in. It was really fascinating to watch, to see someone making something out of that clay. There was the potter making the clay pitcher, the jar, or a bowl, or whatever it was. And, God created man, the body of man. It needs a maker. And, we want to notice four things. There are four stages in the life of every person. First of all, we were formed in God's image. We were formed in God's image. And so the Bible tells us then that we have personality. And sometimes we talk about people, that person has a lot of personality. Or he's personality plus. God has created us so that we're like unto him. God is a person. And so when he created us to be people with personality, like he has personality. And when man was created, he was created both materially and spiritually. Now when I look at myself, I see the material part. Now I look down at you folks, I see the material part. But in reality, we're not just material, but the Bible tells us we're also spiritual. And actually, there's more spiritual stuff to us than just the material. There's the body, then there's the soul, and the spirit as well. And the body is what we move around in, but the soul is that inner person. And so that we can think and we can reason, we can have our emotions and so on. Then there's our spirit, that part we can know God, we can fellowship with God. And that makes us different than the animals. And animals have the material, and they have life. God gave them life to live. But we can know God. We can fellowship with God. God loves us, and we can love God. And so we have that spiritual part in our lives as well. So we find that God is a person, and so he has created us to be people, to be people with personality as well. Genesis 2:7 again says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He breathed, and so life came from God. And so when God breathed into the nostrils of that clay body there, life passed from God. Then all of a sudden, if we could just imagine to see what it was like at that moment, all of a sudden, Adam woke up, there he was. Who am I? Where am I? What's going on here? He had life. God gave him life there. That clay body took on, became soul and spirit as well. So we find that God is life. God imparts life. God gives life. And God is a person, so he gives us personality as well. So we were formed in God's image. We have personality. And so Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And then it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And so God created us in his image. So what's that mean, that we were created in the image of God? Well, when you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom, you look in the mirror, you look in the mirror and say, oh my. But you know, you look in the mirror and you see yourself. But you know, what you're seeing is not that that's not the real person in the mirror. You're seeing a reflection of your body that's in the mirror. And so, in that sense, we're a reflection of God. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. God didn't create us to be little gods. We're not another God. There is only one true God. But God has created us in his image. We have certain attributes that God has. We have certain characteristics that God has. He has allowed us to have that. And so we're created in the image and the likeness of God. And so, because we were created in the image of God, we have personality. And for example, man has intelligence like God. God is intelligent. You know, God created this world in six 24-hour days. How can he do that? Because in the universe and everything that is in it, because he has the understanding and the intelligence to do that. And so when God created us, he gave us some of that intelligence so we can think, we can reason, we can understand things. God has created us to be able to do that. And so man can think and reason. Man has emotions. You have emotions. I have emotions. The Bible tells us that God has emotions. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved. That's one of the characteristics of God. God is love. That's one of the attributes of God. And so God has created us to be able to love. God loves us, and we need to return that love to him. We can love each other, our families, our children, and so on. And so we have that emotion within us. God hates sin. You know, sometimes people hate too, but for the wrong reason, for the wrong motive, and for no reason. But you know, we need to hate sin like God hates sin. But just to say that we are created to have certain emotions and certain characteristics that God has. Man has a free will. And like God chose to create the world and man, God chose to do it. God didn't have to do it, but God within himself, the Trinity, they decided, let's create this world, let's create man. We were created in his image and the image of God. And so man was created with a free will. Adam and Eve were given the ability and the responsibility to make right choices. God said, see the fruit up there? Don't eat it. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. God gave them a test. He didn't want them to be a machine that they're like you push a button, it works, it shut the button off. He wanted them to make choices to love God, to be faithful to God, to his word. And so we find that man has a free will. Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. Yeah, one day Eve was there looking at the fruit and Satan comes in and says, Why don't you take a bite of it? Oh, but we can't touch it or eat it. And no, you can't. God's just trying to withhold something good from you. He knows that if you eat it, you'll become like him. You can know everything. Oh, really? Yeah, go ahead and eat it. And so Eve took and ate, and we find that she gave to her husband. He did eat too. And they plunged the world into sin. And so we find they made the wrong choice. They had a free will. And we have free will too. We can make decisions. We can choose. We accept Jesus Christ or we can reject Jesus Christ. That's your choice. That's a decision that everyone makes for themselves. Before God, God has created us to be able to make those decisions. And so we were created with personality. But not only that, we were created with responsibility. And since we're created in God's image, God is responsible, and God wants us to be responsible. He's given us his word to know and to practice, to apply to our hearts and our lives. We need to be responsible in following and walking with the Lord. He is the creator, and we're his creatures. And so we are responsible to obey him and his word. Secondly, how we treat others is a reflection of what we see, how we think of God, what we think about God. How do you treat others? Do we treat others well, or do we treat others badly? How you treat others, you remember they were made in the image of God as well. And so we need to be careful how we need to respect others and their rights and so on. We have no right to exploit or abuse others as they were created in the image of God. When someone murders another person, they're striking at the image of God because that person was created in the image of God. Abortion is murder. That little child in the womb and the mother was created there in the image of God, received life from God. And for someone to abort that baby is to strike at the image of God. It tells us here in James 3, 8, and 9, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after what? The similitude. What's the word similitude? The same as the likeness of God. The likeness of God. So we need to be careful how we talk about others. We, you know, some people curse people. They use terrible curse words. But you know, when people do that, they're striking at the image of God. When COVID came around, you couldn't go to Tim Hortons for your coffee, and you couldn't go to these places. A lot of these places closed down. So a lot of farmers out in Manitoba, they started bringing the lawn chairs, and there's a big oak tree there beside Tim Hortons in Morden. So they'd go in and get their coffee, and they'd come out, and they go through the drive-thru and get their coffee. Then they'd park and bring the lawn chair over under the oak tree, and you'd see about 10, 20 people there every day drinking coffee. And there's one guy from our church who goes there, and so he is with them, and they're talking about different things, and he said, and this guy from our church says, you know, our pastor said we should pray for our prime minister, for his salvation. One of the farmers looked at him and says, pray for Trudeau? Well, I'm praying that he'll get killed or something. But you know, that's not what the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says we need to pray for those that are in authority over us. And remember, at that time, Nero was the emperor, and he was a wicked, cruel emperor over the Roman Empire at that time. And what did Paul say? We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our leaders. And so we need to be careful how we talk about others, because they too were created in the similitude of God. Then destiny, and that we were formed in God's image, so we have a purpose here. We have a destiny. It is by no accident that we're in this world today. And, we were created by God with a special purpose. And sometimes, you know, people are not happy with the body that God gave them. You know, some people say, well, why am I so tall? Why am I so short? Why am I so fat? Why am I so thin? And why do I have this defect? Or why did God make me this way? Or why did God allow it? And sometimes people are angry with God because of certain things. But, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for each of us, even with the body that we have. Remember Fanny Crosby? She wrote many of the hymns that you find in her hymn books. She was blind. She was blind from a little girl. Some medicine or something she took blinded her. Instead of being angry with God, she started writing hymns. I forget, I read the other day how many hymns she had written. It's thousands and thousands of hymns. And God used that little blind girl who grew up to be a big blind girl. She became a blessing to us, and we still sing her songs here today. And so we're here to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We were formed in God's image. That's what God, his purpose for us. We're to glorify him. We're to enjoy him forever. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And so we need to glorify the Lord. So why do so many people have empty lives today? People were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. Why are so many people far from the Lord? Some people just don't realize that they were created in the image of God. They're oblivious to that fact. And so they love the world more than they love God. And they have a different destiny. And that's a tragedy. So we need to pray for each other. We need to encourage each other. And God has a plan and a program for each of us in our lives. But we were formed in the image of God. Secondly, we were deformed from God's image. We were deformed by sin. We already mentioned that. Genesis 2:17 says, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so we already mentioned about Adam and Eve being in the garden there, and that God told Adam not to eat of it. And whether Eve was there at that moment or Adam and he told Eve, she knew about it. And that's when Satan came in, when she was looking at that tree, wondering about it, and tempted her, and she fell. But why is mankind in such a mess today? Well, because of sin. And ever since Adam and Eve fell in sin, all his descendants have fallen in sin as well. Remember Cain, the first child to be born in this world? He murdered his brother Abel. And then Cain went his way, and then Seth became the next lineage that we find in the scriptures there. And we find that Adam sinned. His children were born in sin. His grandchildren were born in sin. His great-grandchildren were born in sin. And you and I were born in sin. The only person never to be born in sin was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's because his mother was born of a virgin. And so we find here that, but you and I, we were born in sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But then it doesn't stop there. So it goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we find that we're sinners. Because man fell, man is a sinner. When man fell into sin, his spirit died. He became separated from God, distant from God. His soul was damaged. The image of God in him was damaged by sin. We no longer possess the kind of faculties that God gave us in the beginning. Something tragic happened there in the Garden of Eden. Well, what all did happen? Well, in Ephesians 4:18-19, it says, "Having the understanding darkened." And so man now has difficulty understanding things that are spiritual, those things that be of the Lord. It also goes on to say, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Not only is our minds darkened, but we find that we're alienated from God. We're distant from God. We're sinners. Like Adam, when he sinned, that wall of separation came down between him and God. Then it goes on to say, because of the blindness of their hearts. Our hearts are blind. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that we were dead in sin. Did you ever talk to a dead person? Go to a funeral and that person's laying there in that casket and you touch him. Does he lift up a hand and say hi to you? No, he's dead. You speak to that person. Does he answer back to you? No, he's dead. But that's the way we were born in sin. Spiritually, we were dead. But when we were born again, when we received life of Christ, then the Holy Spirit came to indwell us, and we became alive in him. And so we have life in Christ, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. And so that's a picture here of what happened to man when sin came into this world. So we were deformed by sin. But then comes death by sin. Genesis 2:17. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And you know, one day we're going to die too. If Christ doesn't come back first, we're looking forward to the rapture of the church, Christ coming back and catching us up, and we'll be with him forever. But not everybody in this world is going to be caught up. Those that don't know Christ will be left behind. But if Christ doesn't come back soon, then one day we will die. My father passed away a couple of years back. He was just about 102, died at 101. And, you know, he's in the grave today. My mom, she passed away a year before he did. And one day, if Christ doesn't come back, I'll be there in the graveyard too. And so will you. We'll all be there. And our bodies will go back to the dust from which it came. We came from the dust, and we'll return to the dust. Only Jesus Christ can make the difference. In him, we can be transformed and restored. And so the wages of sin is death. We were deformed by sin. We're deformed from God's image. Then thirdly, we are transformed into God's image when we were saved. We were transformed into God's image. You know, in salvation, a miracle takes place. At that moment when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment when you believe in him, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us. A miracle takes place. We which were dead in sin, we become alive in him. We are alive in him. And God begins to work in us to make us like Christ. We've been transformed through the Spirit. In salvation, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down. They were baptized by the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. They were sealed by the Spirit. I mean, so many things happen at the moment of salvation. And that happens to us when you get saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Here is talking about that transformation that takes place in your heart and your life when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All things become new. Praise the Lord for that verse there. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the word formed again, transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when we were saved, we were transformed. But every day we need to walk with the Lord and know God's word and learn God's word so we become more like Christ. The word transformed in here in Romans 12, 2, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's the same word as the word transfigure. Remember, Jesus took the disciples up in the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and James and John, and they went up there and Jesus was transfigured before them. And when they went up there, they saw Jesus in the flesh going up there. But as Jesus was standing there, all of a sudden, he was transfigured before them. He began to shine in all of his glory that he had. They began to see him as we will see him up in heaven. He was transformed before them in all his glory. So transfiguration is a change on the outside that comes from the inside. And so Jesus, as he was standing there, he was divine. He was born as God in the flesh, a little baby, but God in the flesh. As he grew up, he was there, God in the flesh. The flesh veiled that divinity. But up there in the Mount of Transfiguration, what was in the inside came out, and the disciples saw him as he really is. And so it tells us here that transfiguration is a change on the outside that comes from the inside. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important to read God's word every day. That's important to spend time in prayer. So as our hearts draw close to the Lord, people will see the difference on the outside. Do you ever know people that what they were like before they get saved, then after they get saved? Boy, his life is different today. Why? Because something happened on the inside. Now the outside is different. And so this is why it's important to read God's word. Then fourthly and lastly here, conformed. Conformed to God's image. So the day is coming when all believers will be conformed to the image of the Son. When we see Christ. Here is talking about the time at the rapture. Christ is coming back. The rapture is referring to that moment when Christ comes back to the clouds, not at the second coming of Christ, when he comes back to plant his feet here in this earth on the Mount of Olives, but at the rapture he's going to come down to the clouds with the voice of an archangel, with a shout of the shout and the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But at that moment of the rapture, our bodies are going to be changed. They're going to be bodies that are conformed to the image of Christ. And so we'll see Christ there and we'll be like him. And this is the believer's hope. And when we say this is the believer's hope, it's not a hope so salvation, but it's a hope that is based upon the word of God. We know so. Here in God's word. Just a couple of verses here. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknow, for he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed. One day we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so we're going to be conformed to his image. We're going to be like him in many ways. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the 21 says, for our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Can you imagine that? When we are caught up to heaven, our bodies are going to be changed. This body of corruption will become incorruptible. Our bodies will be changed so that when we enter into the presence of the Lord, we'll have bodies worthy of spending an eternity with him up in heaven. A glorified body, a transfigured body. And so we find here, it says, it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's even able to subdue all things unto himself. Romans 3 and 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And so, he's talking here about his children. We're going to be glorified. John 17, 22. And the glory which thou gavest me. What glory is he talking about? Who's talking here? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the glory which thou, God, gavest me, he says, I've given to them. He's given to his children. He's going to give us his glory, that they may be one, even as we are one. And so what the Bible's telling us here is, when we see Jesus, we'll be like unto him. We were created in the image of God. And so when we're caught up to heaven, we're going to be conformed to the image of God. And a lot of interesting things are going to happen. And so we find here in the scriptures that we were formed. God formed us of the first man, Adam, of the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And he made Eve from his side. Then sin came into the world. Man was deformed spiritually. He died spiritually. But then, when people accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they are transformed. Have you been transformed? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was about 7 years old. And I thank the Lord for Christian parents. I was born in a Christian home, heard the gospel at a young age. Where I really remember the gospel, where it used to work in my heart and speak to me, was a radio program, the Radio Bible Class, with Dr. M.R.D. Hahn. How many people remember Dr. M.R.D. Hahn? Oh, it's just the older folks here today. So when I was a kid, our parents used to set us up by the radio every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I believe it was. And we would, Dad turned all the old tube radio on at CFCY, Charlottetown, and there would be the radio Bible class. And Dr. M.R. DeHaan would be speaking there, that gravelly voice that he had, and he'd be preaching away, and he'd end his program off something like this: "What if Christ were to come back this week? Would you be ready?" You know, as a little boy, that used to scare me. I think, I sure hope he doesn't come back this week. Not because I knew I was lost. I thought I was saved. Well, my parents are Christians. I am too. I go to church, and I thought I was saved. But you know, I just didn't want Christ to come back because I wanted to grow up and do all those fun things that adults do, you know. Drive a gravel truck and drive a snowplow and a road grader and all those, you know, tractors and so on. But, you know, when I was about 7 years old, I came to the realization that I was a sinner and I was lost. And Jesus died for me, and I needed to be saved. So one summer evening, I went to my dad and said, "Dad, I want to get saved, but I don't know how." So he took me aside and showed me from God's word how I could know for sure that I could be saved. He prayed with me, and I prayed, and I invited the Lord to come into my heart. And so I know today, if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. And so my life was transformed at that time. And so now I'm a new creature in Christ. But one day, the day is coming, I'm going to be conformed to his image as well. And we'll have received those bodies that are worthy of spending an eternity with him up in heaven. So if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you, where you are, to accept Jesus Christ or speak to me or Pastor Faust after the service. We'd be more than happy to share with you from the scriptures how you can know for sure that you're on the way to heaven. What a great salvation we have. God has been working in our lives, forming us, transforming us, and we're going to be conformed yet one day. Praise the Lord. We're looking forward to that. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to read your word and to meditate upon it. I pray, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts and help us to draw close to you each day. Lord, if there be one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would speak to that heart and bring that person to yourself. I pray, Lord, that you just bless here at Ambassador or at Moose Jaw Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, for your blessing upon the work here, the ministry here, the people here. Help this work to grow and prosper, and Lord, that you be glorified through them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.